How was it, Kevin?
Well, it was well worth fighting the crowd, so to speak. The little bit of drizzle and rain that came down in advance of the president and his and her majesty and the first lady coming out. But it was, once it all got going, it was spectacular. Several things about it that were great. Of course, the pageantry. I don't know that I've ever, and I've been to a lot of events, Scott, as you have, including inaugurations, I don't believe I've ever seen the type of military presentations that we saw today, to include, of course, the review of the troops by the king and the president. The respect for each other is, I think, a great reflection of the respect for between our nations. And then the historical piece of it, it's just impossible to get over. It's been a long time since Queen Elizabeth was here, and I think it was 1992. That's the last time a royal has visited. And the respect between the two men was great. I don't think I've ever seen Donald Trump more charming, and I've seen him pretty charming, as you know. And he was just spot on today, and he was funny and personable, and it was just all very, very cool. And I was glad to be part of it, to be able to have this moment and this opportunity. And I look at my calendar every day and I think, what can I cancel? Today, this was close to being dropped at the last minute, just because, you have to get here an hour early. You sit around a lot. Oftentimes these things don't start on time, and this one did not. and you end up using up a lot of a day. And all I can say is I'm glad I made the call to keep it on the calendar. There weren't a lot of us in terms of senators, maybe half a dozen that were there, but it was just a great moment to be part of, and I certainly won't regret ever doing it. And I sent you a few pictures. I had a pretty good seat, Scott. So I sent you a few pictures and some videos to my family throughout the pageantry, and it's really fun to be part of it.
You know, there's said to have been a special relationship between King Charles's mother, Queen Elizabeth, and the president. And he doesn't get smitten very often, but he seems to really have a genuine friendship there that goes back to his time with Queen Elizabeth and is extended to the king, right?
Yeah. I think there's no question. And that really came out in his comments. In fact, Scott, for those who haven't watched it or didn't watch it on C-SPAN, I would recommend going back and watching it. It's a short program. It's a short speech. And of course, it was well scripted. However, as is always the case with Donald Trump, the best nuggets were after the script. It's when he would go off script a little bit and share some of those personal things. And he talked specifically about that relationship and going back to his mother, even, who was a bit of a royal fan, as we have a lot of those in the United States. It really was the true affection, I think. Anyway, it's not surprising when you think about it, though, in a lot of ways. The Trumps have always been, Donald Trump's always been elite. He's always been wealthy. He's always had different friends than you and I have. And so when I look on my life and consider the fact that he's now my friend, I'm his, and yet, given all that other history, it's not surprising that his affection for the royal family is longstanding, or that he would have had relationships with celebrities and royalty in the past. But the fact that they're all standing there today, I think, was really full circle. And he talked about that. Like I said, when he got off the script, he talked about what his mother must be thinking now if she's looking down, because she even had an affection for the young Prince of Wales back when she was when he was just a child and his mother was queen.
So this is an interesting time in which he comes on a couple of fronts. One, certainly in the international relations with what's happening in Iran. The president, not a fan of much of NATO, and certainly the prime minister of Iran, not even allowing their air bases to be used, which is sort of unheard of in this relationship. Do you think that that thaws a little bit from this trip?
I think it does. In fact, Scott, I think it's a really important part of this moment. It's not lost on me, nor I think a lot of other people. The Great Britain was slow to let us do some of these things, even with this attack on Iran. That eventually was allowed, obviously. I mean, you know, I've been to the bases in England to see where the B-52s from Minot land, where the RQ-4s from Grand Forks land and take off from and stage. And it's obviously an important part of our alliance, an important part of our national security. But it is also, I think, in terms of the whole relationship and Prime Minister Starmer and the president, I do think it was an important symbol that leads to substantive change in the relationship in terms of the thawing, as you talk about it. I don't know how you could be anything but pleased and impressed with what happened today and what's happening this week during this visit. And it becomes, I think, a bit more personal, actually, Scott. As important as the policy pieces are, and they are important, whether it's trade, finance, national security, obviously. In fact, I had a very good visit yesterday at the British Embassy with one of their air and space officials that I met actually at Fairford Royal Air Force Base in England a couple of years ago when I went to meet with their air marshal about some joint programs that involved North Dakota, and I'll leave it at that for now. But it was fun to see her yesterday, and she talked about how well things are going between our militaries and how strongly they support what we're doing in Grand Forks. And it was just really fun to reconnect at a almost personal level, even though obviously it's important business and diplomacy as well. So yeah, I think there it will result in a thawing. I think, Scott, if it's okay, I mean, I even think the events of the weekend with the shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, I think there's a moment, a reflection of focus on unity versus division, that also underlies a lot of this. So anyway, I'm probably overthinking it a little bit. I don't think I'm emotional, but I am reflective, I think, right now, and I think a lot of us are. And this is a good moment to reflect on a really important friendship. You know, it's always hard for me when I sit there and watch some of this to not imagine my 10th great grandfather, William Bradford, who actually came across on the Mayflower and of course was one of the original rebels long before the revolution even, but the precursor to it, and to think, wow, here we are, family again, so to speak. It's hard not to imagine what they might be thinking, those pilgrims, as they look down on a moment like today.
Last question for you on the events of the weekend. I'm told actually already that there seems to be a doubling down. Hakeem Jeffries said, no, I'm not going to apologize for maximum warfare, right? And, Jimmy Kimmel doubled down on Melania Trump having the glow of a expectant widow, and just a lot of defiance. And the fabric of what once was, strong differences, but not this kind of rhetoric, doesn't seem to be going away. I find myself thinking, how does this end? How do you change this? What's your take on what's happened so far and what it'll lead to?
Well, unfortunately, I've come to expect so little from the Jimmy Kimmels of the world that doesn't surprise me. I also, though, refuse to let the angry mobs break my heart. I just refuse to. I do think the vast majority, the masses, see what happened over the weekend as nothing less than a tragic example of a decline in our respect for the office and for each other. But I refuse to let it bring me down. So I'll say this about people who try to be, comedic, but have no comedy as talent. I'm not going to let it get me down, because I'm not going to let them, ruin a good day or a good life by giving them too much attention on the one end. On the other hand, I also think, Yeah, we shouldn't offend quite so easily. You know, there was a time, Scott, I was thinking this morning, in fact, there was a time when I was a young state party, you know, executive and chairman 30 years ago in North Dakota, when our senators and congressmen were always fighting. I'm fighting for this. I'm fighting for that. We're fighting till we win. We're fight. And I even remember back then thinking, I'm not sure fight's the right word. And now today, you know, it's not fight. It's warfare. It's much stronger language. And I just think we've become a little bit callous to it, maybe, on the one hand. On the other hand, maybe we shouldn't be offended quite so easily. I do fear, though, that there are a lot of people who look for any excuse they can come up with to respond to rhetoric with reality. And that's the thing I think we have to be careful about, where there are people who actually hear rhetoric and then turn that into action when it was never really intended for action. You know, I think that's on the perpetrator more than it is on the rhetorical.